talk about the issue of transport. We'll have Tom Morrissey of the PDs and Eamon Ryan of the Green Party on the opposite extremes politically when it comes to the provision of public versus private transport in just a little while. But before we get to the politicians kicking lumps out of each other, we're going to have a couple of experts who really are interested in this on behalf of the commuter. James Wickham is author of Gridlock, Dublin's Transport Crisis and the Future of the City. And first, Derek Wheeler from Platform 11, which I suppose it's fair to say, Derek, is your big into the public transport element of things.
Yes, the railway side of things and getting a fair deal for rail users and making sure that the company Irish Rail and indeed the Lewis and the RPA treat the customer with some respect and deliver a proper service.
How good is our rail system at present?
In general, our rail system isn't very good. From a customer service perspective, it's very poor. Traditionally, we've known over the years that from an infrastructure point of view, it lacked investment. We've seen huge investment in the last 5 to 10 years, but the customer service side of things hasn't improved. In fact, it's got worse.
Why is that, do you reckon?
I think there's been such an emphasis put on infrastructure. I mean, when we listen to politicians talking about rail transport in Ireland, we hear them talking about issues like the metro, extending the Lewis. And somewhere in spending, during the course of spending these hundreds of millions of euro, we seem to have forgotten that the one basic ingredient that's important to customers is customer service.
When you say customer service, what type of things fall into the customer service category?
Well, the biggest complaint on the rail network right now is the lack of information. If a train is late, people aren't told why it's late. You have overcrowded trains. You have Irish Rail literally refusing, you know, to actually do anything about it. When it comes to making apologies to passengers, responding to complaints, we have a list of complaints from rail users that have written to Irish Rail, and they've received no response whatsoever. There isn't even a mechanism in place within Irish Rail to respond to complaints.
Do enough trains run, and do they run at the right times?
Well, this is another issue that's come up. I mean, a tourist arriving in Dublin Airport at 7 o'clock on a Friday evening looking to get to Waterford. Again, they get to Houston Station, the last train is gone, because our rail network is still predominantly Victorian.
Never mind the tourists. What about all the people living in commuter towns outside of Dublin, outside of Cork, and whatever?
This is the whole issue. Irish Rail seem to think it's just the commuters, that they just, between 5 and 7, they want to get from A to B. But, I mean, outside of that, people don't work 9 to 5 in every job. I mean, if you finish working this radio station tonight at half 11 and you want to get to Kildare and take the train, you can't.
Last train is at what time?
Last train to Kildare is 10:45. Now, Kildare is, as everyone knows, a suburb of Dublin at this stage. The last bus is 11 o'clock, and at weekends it's 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, so there is demand.
Do we have enough train lines, and do we have enough trains on them?
We certainly don't have enough trains on the lines we have. As regards lines, yeah, we do have enough lines. I mean, this is what we have at the moment. I mean, what we'd like to see added to it is where does demand. We've been on this show before, Matt, talking about Navan. And the N3 road from Navan into Dublin is absolutely, at the best of times, it's chronic. And that's a priority project that hasn't been prioritised. There's a lot of projects going on around the country that should probably take their place behind the rail project to Navan, because it's a suburb of Dublin at this stage. There's thousands upon thousands of cars coming in on the N3. In fact, it's one of the busiest routes after the N7. During peak hours, so the government should be prioritising projects like that.
Okay, I want to bring in James Wickham. James, what do you think are our major transport issues that need to be dealt with by our politicians?
Well, I think the first thing, as Derek has been saying, is customer service and the quality of service provided by the transport companies. That's undoubtedly an issue. But I think in order to deal with that, you have to have an institutional structure, you have to have some sort of organisation to whom they are responsible. You know, you can't just keep putting money into Irish Rail or indeed into Dublin Bus. You have to have some quality contracts, if you like, saying, OK, you're going to get this money, you provide the service.
Is it all to do, though, with providing more rail? What about more roads?
Well, the problem with more roads is that if you're sitting in a traffic jam, like lots of people are getting ready to sit on the M50 by now...
They're probably well in it.
Well, yeah, some haven't even got to it yet, you know... The obvious solution appears to be build more roads. The only trouble is, 5 years later, you're sitting in another traffic jam. And I do think the sort of gut response that we have at the moment, which is to a traffic jam, which is build a new road, is dodgy. If I can interrupt you, think what happened in Dublin. There's just been a report showing that the amount of traffic coming into the city centre within the canals has actually dropped quite significantly. Confronted by all the traffic jams we've had in Dublin, the obvious thing you might think would be to demolish a few more buildings, build more roads. We, f- Fortunately, in the last 10 years, we haven't done that. There's been a reversal of policy. We've thought of ways to get people out of cars into public transport. And, interestingly, we thought of ways, we're beginning to think of ways in which people don't have to travel so much. You have to think of it laterally on this one. If you just build more roads, all you get is more traffic jams.
Okay, but let's assume, you know, a lot of people are giving out about the M50 and the extra work that's been done to widen it, more lanes, saying that by the time it's finished, the M50 will just be as full as it is now. But if you hadn't done that work, what state would the M50 be in?
Well, exactly. That's exactly my point about the middle of Dublin. If you said that, the obvious thing to do would have been not to knock down. Why not knock down Trinity College or knock down? It's in the way, for heaven's sake.
Derek.
Well, I think one example actually that's worth looking at is what happened the other morning on the N7 inbound. And I think if you look at Transport 21, you'll see that it's actually developing rail projects in particular that are within the city boundary, or what's perceived as the city boundary. There was a promise many years ago to extend the Dart to places like Drogheda and Kildare Town itself. When Transport 21 was released, that plan was abolished. It was pegged back to areas such as Hazelhatch and Balbriggan, which are the traditional county boundary areas in relation to public transport. You know, I agree with James. We can build the best of motorways to places like Kildare, Laois and Louth, but at the end of the day, if we're not providing a superior train service on a par with the quality of the road, we're not going to go anywhere.
What about outside of the Greater Dublin area, the Western Rail Corridor, the likes of the East Cork Rail Service, which apparently was supposed to be finished this year, according to one listener, and hasn't even been started yet, linking up places like Cork and Galway by train? Are those realistic aspirations?
I mean, I think further down the line, they're realistic aspirations. I don't think they're priorities now. I think we have to, I mean, it's basically what we have is we have a rail system right now that's not performing to the best of its ability. So to go off and work on projects that aren't a priority, it's a bit like having a house with every window in it broken and then building a brand new conservatory on the back of it. We need to actually, you know, solve the problems we have on the existing network, because it literally is buckling under the pressure. And Irish Rail will even admit it's buckling under the pressure. I've heard Barry Kenny in here many a time agree with me. And we need to address that urgently.
The listener here says Kildare's lucky. Last train to Wicklow or Arklow is 6:30 from Dublin. James Wickham, I know Dublin's your area of expertise, but what about the idea of having a new rail network on the old tracks which were dismantled in the Western Corridor?
I agree with Derek. I mean, I'm sorry, this is getting boring. We seem to be agreeing with each other. I'm not convinced at this moment how urgent it is. I wouldn't claim the expertise, but it does seem to be important that you need to start aiming towards a rail network that is not just all rails, like all roads, lead to Dublin. And that's the importance of the Western Corridor, that you actually start connecting up by rail the big cities of the West, and that means that they can grow independently of Dublin, which is what is desperately needed.
Okay, so if the political parties are having their rows about transport, we'll be hearing Eamon Ryan and Tom Morrissey in a few moments. What would you tell them three things they had to do, James?
Okay, I would first of all say there is one bit of infrastructure I would do immediately, which is to build the interconnector. That is a railway line, underground railway line from Houston Station round to the Docklands, because that starts tying the city together and it starts making commuting, long-distance commuting, less likely by car. So that's number one priority. The second thing I do is I would pedestrianise College Green. The reason why I do that is because I would like Dublin to have a city centre space which people could come from all over the world to see, and which Dubliners and indeed the whole country would be proud of. And that also says that cities are for people, not just for cars. And the third thing I'd do is I'd create, like I was saying, some institutional system to hold people responsible. And that would be a Dublin Transport Authority responsible to a greater Dublin elected authority, so that politicians within the Dublin area could actually have some power, could make mistakes, and be held responsible for them. At the moment, people make mistakes, but we don't even know who's making the mistake.
Okay, and maybe have a regional transport authority for all the areas outside of Dublin, the greater Dublin area, taking in all the Leinster counties maybe. Derek,
yes,
briefly.
I think we have to recognise Dublin is now, what happens in Dublin affects the whole of the country. If the city now begins to stutter and weaken economically, the whole country weakens. And Dublin is now the economic powerhouse of this economy, and it is special. And I don't think, and that's not a sort of, it's not more, in, not, you know, that's not sort of Dublin above everything else, but it is a very particular place and it does need its own institutional arrangement.
One point from you, Derek.
Definitely agree that the interconnector should be a priority, and then in terms of customer service, Irish Rail should be made accountable to their customers.
Okay, we will be talking to